Well, Christo, I sort of forgot to tell you something.
We have some news.
We do.
I'm being replaced.
No, never.
Christo, you know I love you as a co-host. I think we need to add a third.
And that's going to be Nell.
You guys,
Nell's joining our show! Yay!
Queer Perth Network.
We're proudly recording on Wadja Noongar Boodja, and we pay our respect to elders past and present.
Hi everybody, welcome back to Queer Stories on the Swan, a podcast where two gays and a lesbian meet and chat with people in the LGBTQIA plus community. I'm your host Chris.
And I'm your second host Christo.
And I'm your third host Nell. And today we'll be recapping the Disney docuseries Pride.
Sit back and enjoy the show. Hello.
Hello.
We're back.
Oh my gosh.
Season three.
Season three.
Oh my goodness.
Season three with three guests.
Three people. Yep. Yeah. Season three. Yeah. So yeah, third season.
Yes.
Three hosts.
Yep. Oof.
More than three guests, but yeah.
Lots of guests.
Yes. Yep. On our second year. If only we did a season three on our third year, that would have been more.
Yeah.
Three. But that's okay. But new studio.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the video version, we got a bit of a shelf back here, the rainbow, we got a candle from Equal Candles. I hope you return soon because we miss you and your candles.
Yeah.
And lots of other things that we might be putting up there too.
Yes, we'll be adding to it.
Yes.
And there'll be a whole witchy and thrifty shelf.
Yes, your business witchy and thrifty. Yes. How is the business going now?
It's good, it's growing and expanding.
Yeah, so we recorded last, just before Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So not long ago. Feels like a long time ago.
It does. But it feels like forever ago.
It really does. It really does. So now, again, if you didn't listen to the previous episode, excuse you.
Yeah.
Nell is our third and new host. So we got the three teams. So yeah, here we are with you as a host now.
Yes.
So
upgraded from guest to host.
Yeah.
We were looking for a third person for a bit because I knew I wanted to spice up the show. Just add another voice to it just to evolve it.
Yeah.
Just to evolve it. And we're so happy that you're here. Yeah. And your partner's here in the background. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, waiting up to you. Coming with delicious treats again. So here we are again. The reason why we're not having a guest today. Now, do you want to explain what we're actually doing today and how you came up with the plan?
So I thought it would be a good to start off with us having a chit chat and bantering and bouncing off each other. So I thought a good way to start would be to do the Pride documentary on Disney.
Yes.
Yep.
The one on Disney Plus called Pride. I actually watched it ages ago, but I completely forgot what happened on it. So, and we discussed it and we thought this would be a nice little premiere because it is something different. And I did want, when I first started the show, I wanted to try and do other things other than just interviewing guests. And it took having another third host to actually make that work. But hey, we got it working. So, so thank you for the idea. Yeah. So if you guys out there have not seen this docu-series yet, it's six episodes. It's basically you go through all the different decades for Pride, starting from the 50s. To the 2000s, which from memory, because sorry, confession, I was hoping to get it done the day before and the morning of, because that's when it's fresh in my brain. If I did it like a week ago, I'd be like, I completely forgot what happened.
My memory
shot. Didn't get to do that. So got to about the mid 80s, halfway through the 80s episode, I should say. But so I hope you guys have plenty of notes for the other decades.
So it taps out about the early 2000s. And you probably could even do a seventh episode for like later 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the 2010s and I guess 2020s so far.
Yeah.
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 So shall we get going? So this will be the first time we do this kind of episode. So if you, we find this is a bit messy, it's because it's the first time we're doing this. But we've done quite a bit of note taking. I have done a lot of notes from the 3.5 episodes I've seen. So we're going to be talking for a while.
Should be interesting.
Shall we begin? Now, who wants to start with the first episode? 1950s, people had parties.
Yeah, so that was an interesting one because you're led to believe that it was very closeted in the 50s.
Yeah.
And how they actually start off that before the 50s.
Just make your mic a bit closer, Tom.
Closer?
Yeah.
That before the 50s, that people were more like open and accepting and like they didn't understand as much. And then as the rise of the politics and the religion in the 50s and started to become closeted, but they had their communities and their little parties.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Yeah.
Because in the way this episode goes is, you know, they talk about how there's a lot of stories of like hardships. People were losing their jobs. There was a lot of bar raids. And it was definitely an era of dark days for queer people. But it was before like the big administrative power started kicking in, before the government started kicking in. And this is based mostly in the US, by the way, but it can still sort of be related to the Australian.
Yeah, it trickles through with everywhere. Same.
Yeah, this just happens to be more based in the US. Yeah. So we go through and, you know, one of them talked about like during World War II, men would be moved into a large single-sex environment such as the Army or the Navy, traveling through the locations in the US where there would be large gay scenes because it would mostly just be men of the same sex.
Yeah.
So things would happen. There was one journalist that discovered interviewing people who grew up during the 40s and earlier. Like you said, they were more accepting. The parents are more accepting.
Yeah.
Despite not fully understanding what being gay or what they said homosexual back then.
Yeah.
There was definitely less discrimination before the rise of the politics.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we definitely see a repeat of that history. We're seeing it right now.
Yeah.
Across different parts of the world.
Big running theme picked up is the politics and religions that impact on what people think of the queer community.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was also throughout the series they highlighted particular figures that were I guess you could say queer icons, not in the way of like pop stars are, like they are icons, but like activists and people who are of note. For example, they actually have reenactments of people. Like they'll have people who are dressed like these people and they might act out different scenarios as the real person did. For example, we had someone called Madeline Tress. You were cut to Washington, D.C. She was being interviewed. We got a bit of her backstory. Birth date, 1932. She's a lesbian. She was a business economist for the Department of Commerce. And she was hoping to use that as a stepping stone for her political ambitions. Like, you get in there and you become part of the organization, then you can use that towards your advantage. That's what she was hoping to do. She marched in the May Day parade in 1949. She was, you know, there was wine, marijuana, singing labor songs. She said like Harley a communist. I don't know if the songs were implying that the activities were viewed as a communistic behavior or the songs were about that. So didn't quite get that. But again, it's very American based. So maybe it just didn't quite that. But she was quite a tomboy. She defied traditional ways to behave and dress and walk around. She was dressed as a boy quite often.
Which was a huge thing.
Huge thing during that time, especially.
Yeah.
So we see her. She's introduced herself and she's talked to the camera. Now she's going to this office with a government agent and asks if she had been to the Redskins Lounge. She jokes saying, oh, yeah, they have great food. But she is actually suspected to frequent the venue to make, and I quote, and I'm quoting here, homosexual contacts. That just sounds like networking to me.
Like,
we have homosexual contacts in the podcast because we're contacting. Anyway, so obviously that's not what it meant, but yeah.
But then how outrageous was it that they pretty much stalked her whole personal life to find out what she was up to?
It was a whole FBI thing because back then you're like, okay, your orientation, what you do, because it's such a, oh my God, lesbian and indifferent, you were subject to questions by teachers, by parents, by everyone. What are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? This is what we're going to do. We're going to intervene and everything. Your entire life was part of a conversation.
Yeah.
And just everything about what you did.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was all, yeah.
It's like, could you imagine that happened these days though?
Oh my
like,
God. The outrage that would be pouring out.
Literally like a violation of her privacy.
That's what it was.
Yeah. But unfortunately, that's how it was. Mm-hmm. Then it shows how times have changed.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Absolutely. So this time period was known as the Lavender Scare, which is a bit disjointing for me because lavenders smell really nice.
I love lavender.
They're great. Yeah. They're great in like in what's the word? Humidifiers.
I make great lavender cookies too.
Lavender cookies. So yes, the Lavender Scare was a time of moral panic of gay people when LGBTQIA plus people were being targeted by the US government, which led to their mass dismissal from government services during the mid-50s. So people were losing their jobs. And just, again, like we've seen in history recently, just uses political pawns.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's communist, and now it's homosexuals. They're just the same thing outside of the capitalist norm.
Yeah.
And, President Eisenhower had signed an executive order banning gay people from federal employment. It was a really dark time. San Francisco, I like to think San Francisco, according to this documentary, was really the big... gay spot before New York City was.
That's
what it seemed to imply. Yeah.
Which was interesting to learn because I always assumed New York was the place.
That's all you hear about, New York City and how great it is and also how terrifying it is, but also good at the same time. It's really confusing.
It's complicated.
I know. They interviewed lots of people, like lots of exits. For example, Susan Stryker was the executive director of the GLBT, back when gay was in front. We realized lesbians should be in front. But here we go. Yes, the GLBT History Society in San Francisco. She was talking about films from and Harold O'Neill, who was a gay filmmaker, and he was documenting his life and gay life in San Francisco. So yeah, this is like during the 30s and 40s. So film documenting your life and your life with your partner before you really said the word gay. You know, he goes on to say you didn't say the word gay. You didn't go around saying, are you gay or straight?
Yeah.
You know, I think this was even before the days when they started saying, are you a friend of Dorothy? I don't think they mentioned that in the documentary.
No, not at all.
No,
yeah. But that would have been just before that time period where people would say that. And that was just really, I guess it was quite way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
If you're filming that kind of thing during that time as well. What else have I got here in my notes? I was telling the guys earlier, before we started recording, that my notes were very, very detailed early on. And then as we got further and further, I'm like, I am pausing and writing way too much down. I'm not going to finish this in time. And I didn't.
So there was someone, an interesting figure from the 50s.
Mm.
The XGI soldier turned trans.
Yes.
Christine
Jorgensen.
Yes.
What did the headline say? XGI becomes blonde beauty.
Yes.
And she was.
Yes.
Stunning.
Yeah.
They were talking about how like she was the exemplifying the triumph of technology, the belief in the power of science to do almost anything. Talking about now they did nuclear bombs. Now we can transition men to women.
Yeah, in a way to say being trans is okay because our science is so awesome.
Yeah.
But then she was like the only one that was like glamorized.
Yes, I noted that down too because she appeared to be quite traditional in the sense of like white female, but also hyper feminine. So yes, it was a man becoming a woman, but that woman then became the stereotype of what women were supposed to be. And the public sort of appreciated that more. As opposed to paying attention to like black trans women and trans people of color. So even then, yes, you're part of that community, but you're the more desired side of that community.
And that does
continue. It still happens now.
Unfortunately,
And you're going to be hearing that a lot. A lot of things that happened back then still happen now. So anything else about the 50s, guys? Christo, anything from you? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched the whole series.
I also found the police entrapment was huge.
Yeah.
Like going out there undercover, and then there was that thing how the young guy that got set up and then it turned out to be a big senator's son.
I think that was 60s.
Evolved to the 50s to 60s. I might have crossed my notes.
Yeah, oh, I remember writing that down. I did like a whole thing on that. Was it 50s? I swear.
Yeah, it started 50s. In the 50s, led to the 60s.
Oh, okay.
And then in the 60s, we involved with the violence.
I totally skipped that in my notes. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
So, and that was just a big example. Quite a how'd I write it down? Cut to Washington, D.C. We meet Fred, who sits on a bench. A gentleman who seems to be a bit of a fuckboy, John, enters the picture. It's merely when I saw him, like, this is fucking Greece. And it's so funny. And I didn't expect it. So they discuss what Fred wants to do. And John's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. What was your name? Oh, I'm John. Officer John Costanza, and you're under arrest for soliciting a police officer.
And then, surprise, I'm actually the son of a senator.
Yeah.
And then the pressures and the scandal, the senator actually ended up unaliving themselves.
Yeah.
Because of the situation, which is just crazy.
So not only did it affect people who were queers' livelihoods and jobs, but also their family around them.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And that was like this whole shame of like, oh, your son is a homosexual. Well, something you did wrong, and you're going to pay the price for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the tactic of plainclothes police or plainclothes cops, that's what they would do. They would hide. And
the lengths some of them would go to.
I know. Some of them would go really far. They went on to say that there's some would full on do the deed and then, or get close to do the deed. And then,
an exposure in the toilet and whatnot. And it's like, okay. And
there was one where it said they would go as far as standing around with full erections to signal other men that they were interested. And around 600 officers were hired to do this.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a massive... it's hilarious in a way.
It seems like a lot to do if you're not actually
that out there, right?
Yeah. I mean,
the lengths a straight person would go to try and catch out a...
It's like, you might as well come out of the closet and just do it yourself. It's less
much. Like, what are you denying to yourself?
It's like it's like those boys in high school that would totally act gay with like other men. Like, oh my God, like sitting on my lap. And oh my God, like we're hugging. And it's like, oh, it's like, you might as well.
You really mean that.
I know, like you seem very committed to this part that you're just doing to show off. But okay.
Your gay voice is very good.
Yes. I saw you flick your wrist. I know what you're doing. So, is any more notes on the 50s? Because I think that's it with me.
That's most of it. And just how, like, the 50s and the gays and that before that are, like, our ancestors and leading to way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. They're all our ancestors, so we should be, and we be thankful for what
for
they
sure.
did during their time. So, okay, we'll move on to the second episode, the 1960s, Riots and Revolutions.
What a riot.
Yes, of course, the most famous one was the Stonewall Inn riots, which despite what some drag queens would say, no one died at Stonewall. Did you guys see that? So it was a RuPaul's Drag Race thing, and there was like a panel, and Derek Barry, you know, the one who does Britney Spears really, really well from Vegas.
Yeah.
They were talking about Stonewall, and Derek's like, yeah, people died. And Willem came in and was like, no one died at Stonewall. You might want to know your history. So before anyone thinks that someone died at Stonewall,
they left that out of the documentary.
Yeah. People did die from police riots, but it wasn't at Stonewall. No one died at Stonewall. No. So. There you go. Might save yourself some embarrassment there. So Stonewall Riots.
So how it was an inspiration from the Black Lives Matter protests.
Yes.
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 Which is great to see.
Absolutely.
And the queers looked at this and go, this is a way we can protest and advocate.
Yeah.
And
so those days it was the Black Power movement, but it will become the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah, but back then it was Black Power movement back then. Yeah.
Yeah. Black Power, Black, there was a lot of other different labels for it that I think we might have missed. I don't know. I can't read my enormous novels of notes that I've got here. I mean, I can. So, but they touched on Stonewall in the very first bit of the episode, but they went on to say it wasn't the first queer rebellion. Mm. And then they quickly show, I love the little animated bits they did throughout the thing where it was like it was painting and it looked really cool.
Yeah.
So they talked about 10 years before that in 1959, transgender queens and street hustlers resisted arrest at Cooper Donuts in LA, fed up with police harassment. 1965, inspired by civil rights protests. That's also what we were talking about. Over 150 people staged a sit-in at Dewey's Restaurant in Philadelphia, defying their discrimination dress code. And in 66, San Francisco's Tenderloin, which was like one of the most impactful areas in San Francisco during that time, because that is where like a lot of opponents of gay rights frequented. I know there were a lot of political offices during that time. Young trans women of color rioted against the police at Compton's cafeteria, and that was like one of the big hangout spots that they would have in that area. So really those areas were like the pre-Stonewall riots.
Yeah.
The ones that aren't talked about as much. And they went on to say like those three events is what we now call Pride. That Pride was born on those days and those nights. And that was really the origin of Pride.
So the first Pride was a riot.
Was a riot. It was a protest. It was so as much as it is a huge party now, and I love it. I love Pride now. Sometimes it is forgotten that it was a protest. It was a riot. It was a FU to the police harassment and the brutality. So that's why, and that is why we still have it, because there is still people in government. US, Australia, UK, who do try and take our rights away. So that's why we still need Pride. So when you hear people say like, oh, why do you still need Pride? Or what about straight Pride? You didn't have to go through
straight
the stuff
pride.
Of the queer.
Imagine.
It's straight Pride every day. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
If you want to have a party, have a fucking party. No one's going to stop you. So the 60s, like we were saying before, how like the 50s, like, you know, when people think about the past, it was like it was all shame. It was all this. Before the 60s, it was the 50s, and there was a little bit more, I guess, pride in individuals and amongst friend groups before the 60s came down. And that's when it really started getting politicized. That's when we started seeing more of the vitriol, more of the hatred. And of course, it would get worse later on in the 70s and especially the 80s with a certain pandemic that was around.
And then can you imagine, like, in the 60s, it's a crime now to be gay at this point.
Yeah.
You get arrested if you're a man wearing nail polish or earrings.
Yeah, anything feminine would be like, you'd be questioned, you'd be arrested for.
Yeah.
And what did I write down? Yeah, you get arrested under the most...
even just sitting in a park with your friends, you get arrested.
You'd be accused of loitering.
You'd be so arrested for your hair.
I know. Oh, my God. The shirt, everything.
Yeah.
I don't think he's masculine.
You're criminal.
Something about me just tells us, no.
Me walking didn't give it away?
Yeah. My voice definitely would. Like, hey. Oh, that was awkward. Okay.
I'm like, no.
Yeah. So a lot of things that did happen were, you know, the transphobia, homophobia, the conservative-minded forces really came out to play in
a
lot of ways.
Mental disorder.
Disorder. Almost all U.S. states, like 48 to 49, labeled queer people as criminals and criminalized same-sex sexual activity. It was illegal to serve alcohol to non-homosexuals. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I can take the criminalization, I can take the abuse, but you take alcohol away from me?
Oh no.
Yeah.
But in all that negative, we did have the, I would love to learn more about this person. Flawless Sabrina.
She was the founder of the National's Drag Pageants and built a community of drag queens.
Amazing.
Yes.
Mother to so many.
Yes. The character was created as a non-competitive mother image, had a very matriarchal image. She helped shift and create the authentic meaning of drag.
Yes.
And they brought this up. The user pronouns were meaningless to her. Yes, all right. Pronouns aren't just a new thing that the kids are coming up with nowadays. Pronouns back, you know, pronouns has always been part of the English language. So if you're thinking about pronouns, check a dictionary. It's been around for many, many years. But it didn't matter to her. You could call it he, him, she, her, gender neutral pronouns, which is they, them. It didn't matter to her or them or he. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And just the openness for a time back then.
Absolutely.
Inspiring.
And she had pageants all across 50 US states.
Taking them all across America.
She employed over 100 people in the country. And one of the interviewees said, like, effectively meaning in the 60s, she might have been the biggest employer of LGBTQ plus people in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And it's like, I would like to know more. Where is Her movie or something?
I know. Yeah. There was lots of movies being made. For example, The Queen was a documentary film that captured a drag pageant that was staged in New York City. So it was one of the bigger ones that she held, where we sort of met the runner-up of the pageantry, unhappy with the result.
Oh, yes.
Known as Crystal LaBeija.
Diva drama.
Who's the one in Drag Race that did her on Snatch Game? I think it was Aja.
I don't know.
I think so. I can't do the accent, and I feel like I'll be appropriating it if I try and do it. But like very, very loud, bombastic accents. Like, you know, look at her makeup. Her makeup was terrible. And I was like, you know, this would be a very, it's like, what did I write down? Unhappy with the result. The pageant would have made a fun episode of Drag Race Untucked.
Oh, yes. The makeup was terrible. The
makeup was terrible. Yeah. She looks awful. Yeah. You know, something like that. And then she would, because of that, she would end up organizing her own organization, which would feature in the 1990 documentary film Paris is Burning. Have you guys seen that one?
No.
I saw it years ago with my first boyfriend, but I was sort of not awake then. He was way more interested in drag than I was. I was sort of new to queer history. I was just freshly part of the community. I just cared that I had a boyfriend. Nothing else mattered. But, oh. So this is before I saw Drag Race or anything and had way less of appreciation for it now. But yeah, I'm actually going to go back and rewatch. Maybe we should watch that.
That's Derek
Paris is Burning. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it was very like very ballroom, like New York, you know, pageantry and talent. Did you guys see like any clips from Beyonce's tour? And I think Madonna's started doing it the recent tour as well, where she's had like intervals where queer people would do the struts and the dances, and that was very part of New York ball culture. So very much embracing that. Yeah. So, but I think Beyonce's Renaissance tour, that was like one of the biggest examples of it.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool. We move on to later on in the 60s, there was something called hemophile groups. They were basically, where did I write this down? No, it's all over the place. So it was a collective term for the main organizations and publications supporting and representing sexual minorities in the 50s and the 60s around the world. So basically they were protecting them, but a lot of these movements were also tell everyone in the community to not upset the man too much.
Yeah.
You know, don't rock the boat too much. They were considered to be more cautious than earlier and later LGBT organizations in the US. So basically they were in response due to like the increased aggressiveness towards LGBTQ plus people. They actually started doing annual reminders for people in the queer community. Men will wear suits, white shirts, yes, and ties. Women will wear dresses. All signs must be approved. Some of them even had no drags, no minors on their front door, leaving drag entertainers to come together and establish venues with the little that they had. And again, drag was used as a protest against these particular rules. So again, pride was a protest, drag is a protest. So, you know, you can't say that drag isn't political or pride isn't political because it is all a protest to it.
Yeah. And to say you can be gay, but you have to dress this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Act this way.
Yeah.
And still exclude. Yeah.
Yeah, actually. And you know what? I'm rewatching Grace and Frankie. Well, I say rewatching Grace and Frankie. I watched like the first three episodes, then I fell off it, but where I'm going through it with my mum again. And they had a bachelor party for the new gay couple. And yeah, a person came through. He was like, I don't mind if you're homosexual, but why do you have to be such a slur? So meaning like, oh, okay, it's cool that you're gay, but you're doing too many gay things. The worst gay thing was like a giant pink ride-along dildo on the front lawn.
I'd be gay, but don't be fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Not too gay.
Yeah.
Not too gay.
And then be gay, but if you're a girl, wear a dress. I don't know what Emily would have done. Be a mask.
Can't imagine you in a dress.
It's okay to be gay, but you have to wear a dress.
You got to be a woman. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
It's fine if you're gay, just don't say it.
Yeah, don't talk about it.
Don't talk about it or
don't
anything.
Express it.
Like it's fine, but it's not.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Anyway.
And that's the 60s.
That was the 60s. Yeah. But before that, we'll talk about the Stonewall Inn.
Yes.
Protests had become normalized by the end of the 60s. There was a widespread belief that everything needed to be challenged. You know, and of course, this is also during It was late 60s, right? Where it was the hippie movement started and then it continued on throughout the 70s. Yeah. So that it was very much like everything the man did, nah, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do this. Yeah. And of course, that coincided with a lot of the LGBT movements. At the Stonewall Riot, trans activist Sylvia Rivera exclaimed, "When someone threw a Molotov cocktail, I thought, my God, the revolution is here." By the later half of the 60s, the time was past for peaceful debate and discussion. It was now time for militant, aggressive street protests. And, you know, a few months ago, we saw a library be targeted by picketers because there was drag story time here in Perth.
Yes, I've been seeing that.
And the US has had a lot of it. I can't help but, and this is not me soliciting anything, but with the amount of, like, when we had the same-sex marriage plebiscite, the scare campaigns, the ad campaigns against it, I am surprised that there wasn't more violent reactions to it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they got aggressive because it was just constant. They never felt safe at all. And I'm glad that hasn't been more violence, but one can't help but feel that maybe the Conservatives might take it too far. We might have to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we should, like, be counter-protesting at story time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, it's so difficult. But I hope we move past this whole drag story time as a controversy and it's going to convert our children. No.
I met Prism at the Pride Fest Day.
Oh, yeah, Prism
Lovely.
The Light.
Yeah, met them. Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely diva. Yeah.
Because if you
it's were just story Perth, time.
Do you remember, yeah. It was, who was it? She just did Priscilla. Cougar Morrison.
Yes.
She received a handwritten letter.
Yeah.
Or some people have received letters about story time and don't listen to this person, don't go.
Yeah.
It was so scary.
And it's just the running factor from, if we go back to the 50s to now, 2024, and it's still like, when is it going to change? When do we just stop hating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Eventually we'll have that answer, but yeah, still got some while to go.
When I take over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in response to, just going back to the homophile groups saying we're not taking any actions that will disturb the powerful, the younger radicals, as they call them, that were at Stonewall said, no, we want to protest the Women's House of Detention because the Black Panthers are in it. That's such a cool quote. The young radicals would establish a new organization called the Gay Liberation Front. Are they still around? Because I've heard that name multiple times before. Gay Liberation Front, yeah. Oh, and don't forget, one of the most important protesters was Marsha P. Johnson, a black trans woman.
Yes.
Demanded, darling, I want my gay rights now. There's no cause of celebration because my people don't have their rights.
Yes.
I just wanted to end with Marsha P. Johnson because she's a badass. Okay, so anything else from the 60s, peeps?
Just a wild time and the way it got worse from the 50s in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not moving forward
at
all.
Yeah.
Eventually we did, but it would take them a lot longer. So if that's it, then we're on to the 70s, the vanguard of struggle.
Decade, the 70s.
Good decade, yep. Yeah. We open with the first Pride Parade in 1970. It was the Christopher Street West Parade in Los Angeles. It was the one-year anniversary of the Stonewall Riots.
It was fun to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a way to celebrate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But during this, and the 70s episode really takes a direction focusing more on the women. The lesbian bit there. one of the experts in the first bit said, for a while, gay male issues were taken more seriously compared to lesbian issues. But with the growth of the women's liberation movement and radical feminism, lesbians understood they needed a distinct terminology. We meet Barbara Hammer, legendary lesbian filmmaker. Perhaps I should give the lesbian more of the floor for this one.
She was fascinating and to the guts. Make these films and put them out there, but not in a like
sexual way.
Yeah,
really,
you know,
really, like really well
out there.
It was more of a celebration of like women's bodies.
Yeah, and like, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Like one of her film Dyke Tactics. That's such a good.
It's definitely that. One so different. I need to like want to go back and watch.
Yeah,
look up all these films from back in the day.
Yeah,
yeah.
There was another one. Super Dyke shows militant lesbianism, seeing them as superheroes.
Yeah,
which is true because you guys just are. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't see the difference.
But yes, the 70s was a big rise of like the lesbian. Mm. But then we too hit our own political. Mm-hmm. Couple of Karens.
Yeah.
In the 70s. Yeah. Noted.
Although I guess, was Betty a name for a... Actually, no, Betty White wasn't a Karen. She was a saint. This woman...
But was she, though? So Betty is complicated.
Do
you know?
Not do this to me.
She
Golden
is,
Girls is my jam. Okay.
So, oh, no, not Betty. Betty, the leader
Friday.
Of...
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, my God.
No. We're getting our Bettys mixed up.
I thought you were telling me that Betty White was awful and then you're about to break my...
Betty White, lovely lady.
Emily, Nell's partner in the back, is going, no, she's amazing.
Lovely lady, wrong Betty. We're going back to the 70s Betty. So this Betty, she was the...
Betty Friedan.
The rising of the feminine...
Mystique.
The feminist. She wrote The Feminine Mystique. All for feminism, women and being in power, but also a huge homophobe.
So she was afraid that if lesbians were around the feminist movement, that the public would think all feminists were lesbians. One,
even though half of them were anyway.
I was going to say one. I don't see the problem with that. Calling them the Lavender Menace. There's lavender again.
Yes.
What's with lavender?
So it's there was where is it? I've noted it.
Because there was a lavender scare in the 60s.
So they ended up, it was a group and based on like the, and so they wore lavender coloured shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment where they went to like one of her things, this Betty's things or something. Mm. And they made the lights go out, kind of like the Cruella movie.
Yeah.
The lights went out and then half the audience is in purple shirts. And then someone else stands up and she's like, I'm ready to join you. And she took off her shirt and she had.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we've got the Lavender Menace.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that terrorized her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lavender. So scary.
Yes.
Yeah. Eventually the divide was united. People were like, hey, let's all come together as women. Like, let's not divide each other. And they came together. However, we did see another interesting lady.
Another Karen from the... Mm-hmm. Sorry, Karen's listening.
My mum's name is Karen. And every time we make jokes about Karen, she's like, I'm a Karen. She's like, not that kind of Karen.
Not that,
She knows. She's in on the joke. She's fine. Yeah. Anti-feminist Phyllis... Schlafly, bitch. I don't.
We had a few then because I have noted Anita, someone from the Christian hate group.
Yes.
So it seems there was a few.
There was a few
lesbians.
Yeah.
In the
so 70s. So Phyllis, look, we'll talk about Phyllis first.
Yeah.
Was in the midst of a 10-year fight against the Equal Rights Amendment. Imagine being against equal rights.
Yeah.
Her campaign was ran through fear. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Campaign run through fear that the advancement of women's rights was an opening for gay and lesbian rights. In an interview, she states, I do not think that perverts should have the rights to belong, to husbands and wives. When the interviewer asks about the co-ed bathrooms, gender-neutral bathrooms, she answers, the thing is, do you want it in grade schools? I feel like we've heard this before recently.
Ooh, sounds familiar.
It's very familiar. And the thing is that the shared bathroom wasn't even like a thing back then.
No. But it was already being...
Yeah, discussed and a problem arising and just the scare tactic.
Yeah. It started back in the early 70s and it sadly never died.
No.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No. So it's still a thing now.
Yeah.
That they said that Phyllis created a big bathroom issue around the transgender bathroom back in 1972.
Yeah, and back then they didn't even...
No, that wasn't even that wasn't even on the cards.
No,
Even what was her name? Betty, the one who was so anti-lesbian being with a feminist. She was on the same interview with Phyllis and she's like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
If they're in the bathrooms and they're doing the business in the toilet, why does it matter?
Yeah.
Betty was saying, this doesn't matter why you've gotten out of proportion. So the Karen was converted and gone against the other Karen.
Yes.
Yes. So in the 60s, there was a bit of aggressive notions towards the queer community, but the 70s would see a lot more conflict from the Christian rights people.
Yeah,
the 70s would see the rise of a new right-leaning movement, a coalition of moral and social conservatives. Christian rights were against civil rights protections. Again, tells me this sounds familiar. Christian rights were against civil rights protections for people of colour, against feminist reform and gay and lesbian rights. The Christian conservatives caused the greatest grief to the LGBTQ communities. Again, that sounds familiar.
What's changed?
Nothing.
Exactly.
And that is when we do meet Anita Bryant.
Yes.
And I'm laughing because I keep thinking of the pie in the face incident.
Yes, that was gold.
As soon as I saw that, because I've seen that clip before, but I hadn't fully realized the full picture, and now I do. I'm like,
that was gold. So good. And then they start praying.
Yeah,
and she starts crying. Okay. I'm like, oh,
darling. I'm like, no sympathy.
No sympathy. I'm like, nah, you don't deserve it. So and. Well, actually, we should actually probably paint a picture about who Anita Bryant was. So, in Dade County, Florida, 1977, gay rights had a bit of a win. They had an ordinance that banned discrimination in the workplace based on sexual orientation. So you couldn't lose your job. You would be served even if you were a gay or a lesbian. But then when private Christian schools realized this, that they would have to hire gay people and not discriminate against them, it set them off completely.
Save the children.
From what?
Again, we're still doing this now.
We don't know.
We don't know. So Anita Bryant was a popular singer, actress, and a spokesperson for the Florida orange juice industry. And there clearly must have been something in that orange juice if she's that much in her head. Right. She greatly opposed the gay rights law. Gay rights law, I'll try that again. She had made people believe that the gays' immorality and efforts to recruit children were infringed on religious freedom. Yeah. Again, they think that we're recruiting children.
Yeah.
I don't want children.
This hidden gay agenda. Yeah.
It's always been a gay agenda and the targeting. No. The recruiting and converting them is up to you. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
She put together a survey opposed to the ordinance, which allowed to be repealed. It was like, what was it, 72,000 people put their names down? A lot of people. Amount. And which allowed it to be repealed. So the gay community had lost that small victory for achieving rights. She then became basically the poster woman for conservatives around the country. And she went on to defeat multiple gay rights in different states. So, and a lot of people in the queer community were calling her a modern day Hitler. And
fair enough.
Accurate.
I agree.
To
give rights and then this woman comes and takes them away.
That has nothing to do with you. It's all fear based. And then and then my notes say the pie in the face incident. And then I just start laughing. So that's how we basically didn't see her again. And then this is where my notes started to die off. They mentioned Reverend Troy Perry, founder of the Metropolitan Community Church, had co-organized the first Pride Parade in 1970. He was another big figure. So you might have noticed that gay lesbian rights were the term, not LGBT. Because bisexual wasn't really introduced into the equation until 1993.
Yes.
That's what I said at the end of the 70s episode.
Yeah, and then trans
was much later. I can't remember the
2000 date. 2000 and something?
Yeah, much later than it should have been.
Yeah.
So that's all my notes on the 70s, and then my 80s ones is bare minimum, so...
So also in the 70s, they had some positivity, the gay freedom train.
Yes.
That had like advocates and they traveled across the states.
Yeah, because there was a march on Washington, D.C. There was one in the 60s and that was more for like black power. And then again, borrowing from the people of color community, it was a march on D.C. for gay and lesbian rights. But there were some people who couldn't come. So... I think it was Troy Perry, the Reverend, and his partner, wife, would go on the train and sort of bring it to the people who couldn't go.
Yeah.
And how cool.
Yeah, and so then by the time it came for the day of the march, many people would...
Were there.
Word of mouth
spread.
We're
marching for the people that couldn't be here.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
And
it
ended up being
cool.
A massive
success.
Yeah.
Success, yes. Yeah. Cool. yeah, is that it for the 70s?
Yeah.
Okay. So 1980s, you guys are going to have to take a lot more control from now on because I don't have that far.
A sad time.
Yeah.
A sad time. The 80s.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the rise of the AIDS pandemic also what the straights called the gay cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, because you definitely couldn't get it through sharing needles or people in other countries that were starving. It was just the gay.
This is a discussion Emily and I had. I was like, they don't talk about how the drug addicts contributed as well.
Yeah. No.
To the AIDS.
Yeah.
With their dirty
Those
needles.
People are just sick, but they deserve sympathy. Yeah. We're sick and we don't deserve sympathy.
So that
was, of course. When you think 80s and the gay community, unfortunately, AIDS is the first thing that tends to come up for good and bad reasons, remembering people that did unfortunately pass away during that time, but also the hysteria. It could have been solved much earlier on. There was a show on, I think it was called Stan. It had the lead singer of Years and Years on it, Ollie Alexander. What was it called? It was basically it was like a drama series based on teens living in... No, I think it was London. Or was it? Yes. London? Yes, it was. Based in London in the 80s. So they were all facing it. And it was more focused on the people living their lives rather than the sad tragedy of the AIDS. Mm. But they did show AIDS scenes where people were in hospital. The doctors would refuse to go anywhere near them because they thought it was just airborne. And
like it's COVID or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Because they did talk about that, like they need to quarantine them and isolate them. And I'm watching this like, this is a
absolutely.
COVID.
This is familiar. Yeah.
Someone's going to sneeze next. You're going to sneeze on me and I'm going to get AIDS.
Yeah. Like, but also looking at the positive, again, from what I saw of the 80s episode, it was opening more with like a bit of a positive vibe to it, talking about New York City, a place full of different tribes, the art tribes, the nightlife tribes, the drag tribes.
It was definitely happening by then.
Yeah. And we meet someone named Nelson Sullivan. He was a videographer and a well-known local in New York. He would commit to documenting and preserving the celebration of many queer artists as opposed to just focusing on the darkness that was the AIDS pandemic.
Yeah.
He would meet and document people such as RuPaul, Andy Warhol, multiple other people as well. One of his friends, it was either his friend or his partner, he said he filmed over 1,200 hours of footage from 1982 to 1989. Our iPhones can't film that amount of stuff without stealing some space. That's so cool. So he was really like, I'd say he was an icon for that.
Capturing all them people. And
absolutely.
Like the first vlogger, basically.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yes.
Basically.
That's what I thought.
How weird is it?
Yeah.
Like, we're used to seeing vlogging now, but like this was like early 80s when whatever the clip that was shown. This is like the 80s before vlogging was a thing.
And then back then it would have been a big camera too.
Big camera. You're carrying this massive, like this thing behind me, or even bigger than that on your shoulder.
Boom,
that kills.
Yeah.
And he was editing as he went.
As he went,
all these videos out.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And the ending.
Yes. But just some facts to list about AIDS. And again, this is where my notes end. In 1981, the first cases of what was being called the gay cancer were being reported in the US. By the end of the year, 1981, 130 gay men have died from the disorder, leaving the LGBTQ community shocked and confused. They were also calling it the disease. They were calling it gay-related immune deficiency, or GRID. Mm. So it was just gay, this is the gays' fault. Gays are doing this, gays are that. So what do you think happened? It caused fear amongst everyone in the world.
Scare tactics.
So it was just, you're not gay because then you'll get AIDS and die.
It's come up a lot.
Yeah.
Scare tactics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, you guys are taking over now. That's my notes.
Oh, gosh.
So, some positivity is that Flawless Sabrina is now still going strong by this time and is known as Mother Flawless.
Mother Flawless.
And then the community. Yeah, but not too much on the 80s because it was just a big touch on the scare tactics and the...
I'm just going to take my headphones off for a second because my feet are getting caught in the... Okay, cool. Excuse me.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
It'll be sorted, I promise.
Yeah. But yes, Mother Flawless.
Yes.
And she was, by the way. Like her and Drag, like, oh, stunning.
Yeah, so to still be going strong and to have the big established community by then.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of positivity for... Because unfortunately, all you hear about the 80s is... The pandemic.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But, and again, I don't know if the documentary covered this, but, you know, one of the biggest celebrities ever was not feeling so about AIDS and treating people like objects was Princess Di. I know she did this more during, I think it was the 80s when she was doing this. Like,
yeah.
I watched The Crown recently. But, like, I also did some research on it. But, you know, again, why people loved her so much is that she didn't treat sick people as this... disease as this thing. There were still people, like she even hugged people who had AIDS, which was like, oh my god, you're touching them and you're hugging them. What is wrong with you? No, she's like, these are people. So I think it's thanks to not just, you know, princesses, because there was there was some real people who are not part of royalty that did this, but I think she played a part in destigmatizing the whole AIDS. Infected people and treating them less like objects and treating them less like disgusting vermin that need to be put down, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, so,
yeah.
Shout out to royalty.
Yes. Kudos. We're going to the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get much because...
My birth decade.
Oh, you're such a baby.
Yeah, no, 95. 95, I'm 30 next year.
1990. Mm. Right on the beginning.
88.
88, oh my goodness.
Yeah. So,
I feel like such a child.
Because it's the American documentary, the 90s was just basically covered the Bill Clinton and George Bush. Their little feud thing, and then Bill Clinton promised... all the queers so much and then went against it.
I was very...
Politicians like, don't do
what?
That.
What?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Hang on, wait.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Obama had done that?
I know,
Oh, my God, Or Trump did it.
Like, to show
I mean,
that... Like, to comparison those two. It was amazing. It was like, wow, he promised all this and then went, nah.
Yeah, got in and then was like, nah.
Like,
nah.
What?
Yeah.
You got our votes.
Yeah. And then they had, like, the queer community saying, like, don't piss off the people, don't, like...
I could say that for multiple people in power, but anyway.
Yeah, still the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, the 90s, I didn't get too much, but we did get the discovery of the label for transgender.
Yes.
Came out in that time.
Yes.
And then people were like, oh, that's...
Because before then, it was still transsexuals, it was transvestites.
Drag and...
Yeah, drag.
Yeah, it wasn't the gender identifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at least that was
from Transylvania. I'm sorry, Rocky Horror joke.
Yeah.
I gotta rewatch that.
Movie.
I know, it's so good. I was so confused when I first watched that movie because again I was still very new to like the queer community.
I was 12 and when I watched. That.
I was watching going, what the fuck is going on?
And then I rewatched it as an adult and I was like, wow,
this is genius. I love it. Yeah.
And I was like, how did my mum even let me watch this when I was 12?
I understand it all now.
Thanks, mum.
Yeah. Got to start them early. There's no gay agenda, don't worry.
But a whole planet of transsexuals.
That sounds so much fun.
It sounds exciting, doesn't it? Like Fire Island 2.0.
Mm-hmm. I'm on a Rocky.
Yeah. So then we move on to the early 2000s. Comedian and activist Margaret Cho was very big in out there and bringing comedy to activism and lightening it up and stuff.
Laughter's the best medicine. Especially in dark times, but
And then we find...
now, in the 90s, wasn't it Ellen that came out as lesbian?
Ellen was out.
Yes.
Ellen was out and liked her first. But she wasn't talked about in the documentary.
No.
Wonder why that was.
Yeah.
Hey, girl.
But then there's a big rise of acceptance in the thousands because we had the L word come out, which was a big...
Yes.
Big, big thing back then.
Absolutely. I need to watch it. But
Emily's watched it. I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
And then there's a new version of the L Word now these days too.
As in just come out or?
How was the... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's like modern.
Yeah. I watched them both just to get perspective. But yeah.
Yeah. I never really watched that, but that came out and made big showing more openness and just normal people.
Yeah.
And then we had shows like Modern Family and stuff like that.
RuPaul's Drag Race started in early 2000s.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a lot of representation.
Luckily in the 2000s, it's. Yeah.
It's 2009, early 2000s. When we say early 2000s, does that mean like 2001 to 2004?
I think like to 2010.
But that are 2010s though.
That's 2010s?
Yeah. So early 2000s, 2010s, 2020s.
Yeah.
Okay. RuPaul's Drag Race came out in 2009, so it wasn't the 2000s. So yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot more media started having more queer things. Buffy.
Yeah.
Had their first lesbian couple, then they killed her off. Sorry, spoilers. I'm still.
Cruel Intentions. I'm still.
Yes. Yes.
With the big scene, that was huge.
What was that weird movie? Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah.
Yes, and Summer Hayek. That kiss was huge.
Summer
Hayek. But back then.
Oh yeah.
Watch it if you haven't watched. I already watched that recently, and it's like, wow, that's a very charged. For no sex scenes, it's a very wow.
Space.
Yes, spacey. But yeah, so from what I got from the early 2000s is that media was being good, used for the powers of good.
Yeah.
And so instead of scaring everyone, it's
more positive,
showing people.
Yeah.
And then there was like other movies coming out. Boys Don't Cry.
Yep.
Was mentioned, which is a movie I watched quite a few years ago about a trans girl and stuff.
Mm.
So yeah.
From what I remember of the 2000s episode, because again I watched it ages ago, it was more focused on like the power of protests, which is Pride. And isn't it cool how much it's evolved? It's sad that it still needs to happen, but I'm glad it does still happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Pride. But yeah, like there's been more examples of the two communities between the queer community and the black community, the people of color community, like with Black Lives Matter, with same-sex marriage finally being legalized in most Western countries. But you know, we still have work to do. There's still the transgender bathroom stupid issue. You know, there's still discrimination, there's still scare tactics.
We've come a long way, but got so far to
see. Yes, exactly. Ooh. We should never dismiss the positives because there are positives, but we cannot forget about the negatives either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why we have Pride.
Yeah.
And that was Pride, the docuseries on Disney Plus. Yeah. So, yes, so I really hope you can watch it. I've definitely got to, finish watching it. But then I'll rewatch it again. And I think it's something that, you know, you always watch a certain movie around Christmas time.
Yeah.
You know, you always watch Polar Express or whatever Christmas movies. I think Pride should be a film that you a docuseries that you rewatch or a movie.
Yeah.
There was a movie called Pride that was more focused on gay rights in, I believe it was London. That was such a cool movie.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen it before? It had Imelda Staunton, the one who played Queen Elizabeth and the Crown, the later ones, and was Umbridge in the Harry Potter films. But it was just a really nice human story about, because they were talking about like gays, but also they came up with a plan to talk to a town full of miners, as in mining people, not like underage people, but like mining people. And because they had pretty bad rights as well during the 70s and 80s, thanks to Margaret Thatcher, who also was not a fan of our community. So it was sort of like coming together and supporting each other. And then they did at the end.
That is one thing I did like about the documentary, that no matter what scare tactics or what fear or hate was out there,
yeah,
we all still found a way to come together.
Yeah, and I think it's important to do that. Yeah, we can't forget about the negatives because they will always be there.
Yeah.
We have to reflect upon them. We have to dive into the darkness to know what is happening. But then you've got to mix it with the positive. And it can be a delicate balance, especially when something is quite new or something has just happened. So,
like, don't forget the first Pride was a riot, but so glad it's a celebration these days.
Yes, exactly. But it can be both.
Yes.
And it should be used as both.
It is. Yeah.
So, it still is. Yeah. Any other notes, guys?
Maybe more. Maybe these days. I found the advocating and the protesting very inspiring.
Yes.
And we kind of need – that's died off a lot.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't think we see it as much in Australia.
Yes.
As opposed to the US. And the US, I get it. Like, that's where more that's a lot of that originated. That's also their thing. They're very, very loud. Yeah. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. love you. but, like, I think there's – you know, there's always this thing about like, oh, Australia's becoming so Americanized.
Yeah.
In some ways, yeah, I can see why there's people opposed to that. But there's also positives with that too.
Yeah.
I think protest is so important.
Yes.
You know.
Gets the message across.
Yeah. Yes. There's several protests that are happening right now. We're getting close to that time of January. So that's just another example of people coming together and doing something that can help everyone. So
yeah,
I don't want to get into it now.
Digressing a bit.
Yes.
But yeah, so overall, it's just the community of the queers and everyone coming together and standing strong.
Yeah.
And we are here and we are queer and
get used to it.
Yeah, yes, pretty much.
And if you don't, we're still going to be here.
So. Yeah, we're not going anywhere. We're just going to get louder.
Yep.
And more colourful.
Yep.
And more fabulous.
Yes. If that's possible.
We're just like you. There's nothing different.
there's the gay agenda, but then there's the lesbian agenda where me and Emily are trying to convince everyone that's bi that they're actually gay.
Yeah. I mean, I did. I thought I was bi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that bi's aren't bi.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, I feel
you
like
are valid.
There is a lot of
yeah.
people that think they're bi.
I'm sure we all go through that.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's
point.
That middle ground of, oh, which way am I actually going to go?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mind you, there are some girls where I'm just like, it could be bi. But no. I'm like, yeah. No. I'm gay. But, yeah, again, if you're bi, you're valid.
Yes, you're valid.
We're not trying to...
No.
Yeah.
There have been some people in the community that have said, I'll just pick a side. Excuse you? Fuck off. No.
Yeah.
If you're bi...
Some people like
you're
both.
Valid.
Yeah.
Some people like all.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who
some
you like.
Some people don't see anything at all.
Yeah. Some people just like love. People. Just
at the end of the day, we're just people.
Yeah.
We just want love, and that's it.
We're not perverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not scary.
Yeah, pervert.
Yeah.
A lot of projection with people who call people like us perverts.
Yeah.
Just personally.
Yeah. I mean.
Comes out of one community.
Pervert. See, I watch a lot of crime shows. So to me, the perverts, you know.
Oh, I know.
The dirty pervert. Like, how are gays classed as perverts?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. It's because they wish they were us. Yeah. So if we don't have anything more to add. I think that's it.
Yeah.
So I know this is a bit of an unconventional premiere, but we thought we'd do something a little different, but it's on theme.
Yeah.
Even though Pride was a few months ago, but it's always Pride here.
It's always Pride.
It's a queer podcast. It's always Pride
here. Pride every day.
Pride every day.
And hopefully there's some fun facts some people didn't know.
Yes. Yes.
Hopefully you learned something.
If you watched the show and you want to add any comments that we missed...
Yes.
Please do.
By all means.
Yes.
By all means. Yes, our polls are open. Our comments are open. So thanks for coming back, Nell.
You're welcome.
Well done on your first day of hosting.
Yes.
Go you. So good. So next time we might have a guest.
Yes.
Might be an exciting guest.
Fingers crossed.
Exciting.
Yeah. But
Chris is so giddy about it.
Every guest is exciting, don't you? Everyone is. And we're just so happy to be back in our new studio.
Yes.
Season 3 is on.
Yeah.
Cool. Exciting. All right, guys. Let's wrap up the show.
Let's wrap it up.
And welcome back. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Queer Stories on the Swan. You can leave a review/rating on wherever you get your podcasts.
You can find us on our socials at Queer Stories on the Swan.
On Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
I'm Chris.
I'm Christo.
And I'm Nell.
And
stay fabulous.
Thank you for listening to Queer Stories on the Swan. You can leave a review/rating. Did I say on a swan? On the swan. Yeah, I did.
On a swan.
We're going to ride on the swan.
That should be our video versions. Now we're off on a swan.
We'll change our logo.
That'll be our logo, just on top of swans on the Swan River.
Yeah.
People be like, just why?
Why not?
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you for listening to Queer Stories on a Swan. Oh, I did it again. Shit.
It's in your mind.
Stop right now.